Chapter 10. When my mother needed to work out her frustrations, she grabbed a mop and dust cloth and lit into the house. I grabbed gardening gloves and pruners and attacked the yard. We got back home from Amarillo yesterday, and I was still trying to process all the things I learned there, the people I met, the different outlooks and stories they represented. What a tangle Andrea's disappearance was. And, too, I was suffering from jet lag without the jet. Amarillo was a different lifestyle, different surroundings. The weather news said that last night a snowstorm blew into Amarillo, so I was thankful we had made it home before it hit. It sounded like their weather was as changeable as Oklahoma's. If I had any thoughts of keeping my investigation into the vanished Andrea a secret, those thoughts evaporated after our visit to Dilly's Cafe. So maybe it was a good thing that we hadn't searched out the Amarillo equivalent to Dilly's. We had blown my mental image of a sleuth wearing a trench coat, hat pulled low over her eyes, silently slipping through the darkness to discover hidden clues and bring the bad guys to justice. No, my mother and I had pretty much broadcast to the world that I would be writing a book which just might include a chapter or two about Andrea Worth. So much for secretiveness. We had done a good job of spilling the beans. But when I thought of the hope in Sophie Williams' eyes, it made my efforts worthwhile. She had assured us that she was happy we were taking on Andrea's case. Her innocent trust in my ability made me cringe. Was I worthy of that trust? I hoped so. For Sophie's sake, I would try. The sun felt warm on my back as I snipped and stacked twigs and branches. Evidently, we were experiencing Indian summer. I viciously cut an offending oak sprout from among the peonies. And then, there was the episode with Grant. It would have helped to have the sheriff of Ventress County on my side, but he thought I was a meddling female, albeit one he was attracted to. I was not ready to become romantically involved with anyone just yet. Jake had been my life, and when he died, a part of me died with him. I had grown a protective shell around the area of my heart, and I liked it that way. How dare Grant awaken feelings that I wanted kept buried? Whacking off another sprout, I realized, too late, that it was part of the peony bush. And how dare Grant tell me to back off? With the peonies subdued, I had progressed to snipping the small sprouts around the oak tree when a dark blue SUV pulled into the driveway. A tall, blonde man got out of the driver's side and walked to the front gate. "Darcy? Mrs. Campbell?" he asked. "I'm Gary Worth." I dropped my pruners and nodded. One of my mother's old sayings came to mind, "Well, speak of the devil." But I didn't say that. I swallowed my surprise and said, "Hello, Mr. Worth." Gary rested his crossed arms on the front gate. I resisted the urge to tell him he might bend the hinges. "What can I do for you?" As he leaned toward me, I noticed that he was a very attractive man. His green, crisply ironed shirt matched the color of his eyes and covered a well-muscled chest and arms. He had the bronzed look of someone who spent a great deal of time out of doors. When I compared Gary with Tom Mott, Tom didn't fare so well. This second husband of Andrea's looked like the proverbial dashing and successful hero of every young girl's dream. His dark green eyes held mine as he said, "I heard that you are reopening Andrea's case." Shaking my head, I said, "I'm not sure what you heard, Mr. Worth." A brief smile lit his eyes. "Gary." "Okay, Gary, I don't know what you heard, but gossip has a way of getting twisted as it goes from one person to the next. I'm planning on writing a book about the mysteries of Ventress County. Much of it will include legends and tales that my Cherokee grandmother told me, and I'll probably have a chapter or two about the Ventress case my mother and I were involved in last spring. He nodded. Ben and the Lost Gold. I've always wondered about that gold and just exactly where it is. Should be an interesting book. So you aren't going to write about Andrea, after all? I hedged a little. I don't know yet what will wind up in the book. Sometimes as I write, the story takes on a life of its own, and I just sort of record it. His green eyes narrowed. That sounds far-fetched to me. You're bound to work from some sort of outline. I pulled off my gloves and wiped my hands on my jeans. To be truthful, the story hasn't even reached the outline stage yet. A friend of mine suggested I write a book and include in it some mysteries or legends of Ventress County. Since Andrea disappeared fairly recently and nobody knows where, it might be good to include that. I'd probably use newspaper stories as the primary source. His eyes never left my face. He seemed to be digesting this. Finally, he spoke. I've come to ask a favor, Darcy. Is it all right to call you Darcy? Sure. If you decide you need to talk to other people or go searching for clues or whatever, will you come to me first? If you turn up new information, I'd sure like to know about it before I read it in some book. And maybe I can help you. I've still got pictures of Andrea, and you'd be welcome to them. You know, maybe somebody would read your book and recognize Andrea and realize they had seen her. That was an angle I hadn't thought of, but then I hadn't given much thought to Gary Worth as a source of any additional information. You're very kind, Mr. Worth. Gary.
Hey, listen, it's been 2 years. Can you imagine what that's like, the not knowing? I didn't ever think that Andrea was an unkind person, but disappearing like that without even a word, well, that's pretty selfish. Sometimes I lie awake at night and wonder where she is.
He ran his hands through his blonde hair and shook his head. He seemed to really care for her. What would make a woman leave this attractive, wealthy man who loved her? That was something I was determined to find out. I lost someone I loved, too, I told him. But it was through death, so no, I can't imagine the pain you are going through. Not knowing has got to be rough.
We have something in common, then. It was nice meeting you, Darcy. Remember to call on me if you need any help at all. I'd like to work with you on finding Andrea. I'm glad that you're writing the book. If we can locate her, even if she doesn't want to come back home, at least I'll know where she is. I'll try to accept her decision and move on with my life.
He gave a brief salute, climbed into his SUV, and roared off down the street. Jethro poked his nose out from under the peony bush. And what do you think about that? I asked as I lifted him up. His soft fur felt warm against my cheek. What kind of woman would leave a rich, handsome man like Gary Worth? Once again, my companionable cat had no answers. He sprang from my arms and loped off toward the front porch, as if to tell me that he wasn't involved in this dilemma and I was entirely on my own.